So our scripture for today is a snippet of a much longer farewell discourse between Jesus and his disciples on the night of his arrest. And in this last night that he spends with his disciples before his death, Jesus is trying to show them two elements of reality that are difficult to hold together. That he is going away, but he will not leave them orphaned. Now, as he's trying to explain this to them, the disciples have many questions, as you can imagine. And so those questions are popping up, and our text today is part of an answer to a question that Judas has asked. And this is not Judas Iscariot, this is the other Judas. So our text again is his answer or part of the answer to what Judas has just asked. Just prior to this passage, Jesus has said that in a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. And so Judas presses Jesus for more information. Well, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the rest of the world? And so John 14, beginning with verse 23, Jesus begins to respond to that question. Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but it is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. So do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you that I am going away and that I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." This is the word of the Lord. So somewhere between 6 to 9 months old, most children go through a phase of separation anxiety. You parents out there know exactly what I'm talking about. Where they hate to see mom or dad leave the room. We miss this phase because we adopted Catherine Anna a little bit later. But I have surely heard those screams of terror when some of you have left your littlest ones in the church nursery. Babies at this stage have not yet learned what doctors call the concept of permanence. That is, that just because you can't see something doesn't mean that it's gone out of existence. Well, in this part of Jesus' farewell discourse to his disciples, you can certainly hear that he is addressing their separation anxiety as he prepares to leave them on the night of his arrest. Jesus is trying to reassure his friends that even though he's going to be killed, he's not leaving them forever. And one of the most comforting things he says to them amidst their anxiety and their fear and their questions is that if they love him, we, meaning he and God, will come and make our home with you. We will come and make our home with you. Do you hear the power in that promise? I can feel my whole body almost sigh with relief and expectation when I hear those words. In another place, Jesus says that he's going to prepare a place or a home for them, and that he will then come back and take them to himself so that where he is, they will be also. But this promise in today's text, I think, is even more powerful because Jesus is saying that they don't have to wait for that future glory. Because he's making a home in them right now. Now, Jesus doesn't explain how this happens. But I think it might be a little like the way that my mother dwells within me. I've just recently seen her again, So it's such a strong feeling. Even though we now live 2 hours apart and I do not see her as often as I'd like, somehow she is still very, very present with me. Sometimes I hear her exact words coming out of my mouth as I parent Catherine on. Other times I can actually feel her embrace or hear her reassuring voice in my times of darkness. I remember how my mother used to rush into my room when I was having nightmares as a child and crying out for her, and she'd hold me and rock me and tell me over and over again, "Everything's okay, Betty. Everything's okay. I'm right here." Well, 35 years later, when I was hospitalized with a blood clot in my lung, I was comforted by those same words still residing deep within me. "Everything's going to be okay, Betty. I'm right here." Well, I think Jesus meant that something like that would happen for his disciples. Only much deeper and much more mysterious. His promise was that God would dwell within them, would make a home within them. Do you hear that? A place of peace that the world could not give, a haven where hearts need not be troubled. The late Henry Nouwen, who had a tremendous influence upon my life. He was a renowned Catholic priest, a religious teacher, and a prolific writer. He often spoke of how many of us have forgotten our home address. That rather than living in our home with God, or the house of the Lord, as the psalmist called it, we live instead in the house of fear. I would concur that in these difficult and challenging times, houses of fear are rising like wildfire. Fear has invaded every part of our lives. We are afraid of economic decline or losing our job and worry about the cost of our children's education, our health care, and our retirement. We are afraid of disease. of that dreaded cancer diagnosis or diabetes or heart disease. We are afraid of foreigners, of potential terrorists all around us. We are afraid of change, yet afraid of standing still. We are afraid of aging and of death. Fear shapes so many of our decisions and our choices. Listen to the evening news and to our politicians, and it's quite evident that fear stalks our nation. And as Timothy Whitaker said, a Methodist bishop in Florida, there is nothing more dangerous than a powerful nation that is afraid. Well, friends, God's alternative to this house of fear is what Nouwen called the house of love. The same house that Jesus offered his disciples in the midst of their anxious fear. Make your home in me as I make mine in you. Make your home in me. Well, as we unpack the boxes and settle into this house of love, fear's grip upon us relaxes as we find that we lack nothing in this house of love, this house of the Lord. It is a place of incredible abundance and beauty. In the words of Methodist minister Patricia Ferris, in contrast to the parched places of our lives, it is a place of vibrant and nourishing green pastures. And in contrast to the noise of our daily lives and frazzled spirits, it is a place of deep, still waters where silence carries us to the wellsprings of our faith. And in contrast to the futile desperation of endless seeking after the latest thing, the newest, hippest, coolest, whatever, when we are at home with God, when we make our home with God, we know that our cup is already filled to overflowing. Here's a beautiful story I have told you before that came out of that massive power outage in August of 2003 that plunged large swaths of the northeastern and midwestern United States into darkness. Y'all remember that? For nearly 7 hours, at many parts for up to 2 days. Well, astronomer Jay Reynolds, who was director of a planetarium outside Cleveland, Ohio, saw great opportunity, you see, in that pitch black sky. What could have been a long night of fear became instead a serendipitous, joyful time of fellowship and gratitude as Reynolds set up his telescope on his front, in his front yard and invited all his neighbors to come over and see the marvels of the sky. The deep, deep black of the sky, free of artificial light, revealed the galaxies in plain view. The whole sky was alive. Mars was brilliant, and the Milky Way too. Reynolds excitedly commented that it was a great night, a perfect night, to see the stars the way that they were meant to be seen. Wow! What a night in the house of the Lord. Perhaps in the darkness of that night, many rediscovered the sheer power and magnificence of our Creator God, who sets the stars in their courses. So friends, the more that we remember that our home address is the house of the Lord, the house of our Almighty Creator God, and not the house of fear, the more we will shift from anxiety to assurance, from panic to peace, from fear to fullness of life. And so shall we rejoice with the psalmist who so beautifully said, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, for I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Would you repeat that with me? From Psalm 23, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, for I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Not the house of fear. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May it be so for you and me. Amen.